Screaming fast is not the only thing that you should look for in flash storage. Find out more on HP Tech Talk. Welcome to HP Tech Talk. I'm Andy McCaskey from SDR News, and on this show, we talk with experts from Hewlett-Packard who are defining the new style of information technology. And of course, this is being recorded a little bit early because the big HP Discover event is actually going on in Las Vegas, Nevada this particular week. But there are so many things going on, and in fact, storage is really the center of some of the announcements at HP, and I wanted to give you more or less the up-to-date word on a big announcement that HP made. Got a couple of folks here to help me as well. Pridoshi is from Fremont, California, and he's you are in the storage group itself, correct?
That is correct, Andy.
It's great to have you here today, and of course, it's great to have our next guest who's coming from the UK. Nigel Poulton, and it's quite late for you, I think.
It's not too bad here. With it being summertime, it's still light outside, so it doesn't feel so late. But it's great to be on the show.
Lots of exciting things to talk about. And I think HP really has four main points that were a part of the product introduction here today.
Yeah, Andy. Hi. So from HP's standpoint, when it comes to flash, there are really four key day one design requirements that any architecture must meet. And I'll just go over them one by one, starting with performance acceleration. Flash, of course, you've got to be fast. So that is the number one requirement. The second requirement is around efficiency. You know, flash continues to be a little bit expensive than the spinning media. So efficiency optimization is a crucial requirement when it comes to a flash-optimized architecture. The third requirement is around system resiliency. Just because you've got very fast media doesn't mean that all your requirements around high availability, system resiliency go away. They continue to be very important. And the fourth and final requirement really is around data mobility. Just because some data is today on flash doesn't mean that that data will continue to remain on flash forever. What you want is a seamless, non-disruptive way to move data around, and that's why data mobility is a key requirement from our standpoint.
As HP has been looking at this problem, which has been the most difficult one to address?
I'll talk about HP 3PAR here in particular. For us, we were kind of lucky. Our vision has been to work, on the data mobility requirement. We have been working on that for several years now. We have been one of the pioneers of efficiency, optimization with our leading thin technologies. We have very mature system resiliency already in our systems. So I have to say, focused on flash, some of the enhancements that we have done around performance acceleration probably were some of the new things that I would say we did, focus on the flash market segment.
Well, tell me briefly about what the announcement was at HP Discover.
So at HP Discover, we launched a new all-flash array. It's called HP 3PAR StorServe 7450 storage system. It is an all-flash array, supports SLC and MLC media, has all the system resiliency features that customers have come to expect from a 3PAR array in general.
Well, Nigel, I know that as an independent blogger, your view looks at a lot of different vendors, startup companies, and so forth. Tell us a little bit about your blog and what your first impressions are of the new HP offering.
Sure. So my blog is reachable via either nigelpolton.com or technicaldeepdive.com. I tend to focus on storage, and I like to try and get into the weeds when it comes to the technical side of things. I view my blog site as somewhat of an education for myself and hopefully sharing anything that I learn with other people. Now, with regards to the 3PAR, the 7450, I have quite a few questions, to be honest, and I think probably the first question that came to mind was, what does HP feel is different about the 3PAR architecture that means that they can go about this differently to other vendors? So, for instance, a lot of the other established storage vendors have decided that their incumbent technologies weren't necessarily the best place for them to implement all flash, and they've either decided to build from the ground up or they've gone to market and acquired another company. HP clearly here are taking a different tack. What is it about the 3PAR architecture that makes HP think that they can take an existing platform and deploy it with all flash without having to, for instance, go to market?
Yeah, Nigel, great question. So absolutely right. When it comes to the traditional storage players, I think one thing that is obvious is those architectures were designed 15 to 20 years back. And at that time, flash was, very much the, at that time, flash was not really so popular in the enterprise world. 3PAR architecture, in contrast, is almost like a modern architecture, which was designed to improve and maximize performance regardless of the underlying media type. And I can quote some of the leading SPC1 results that we have had in the past with our spinning media-based solutions, right? When it came to flash, we actually looked at flash and, understood that, as an example, a single SSD can give you 20,000, 40,000 IOPS from a single SSD device, right? So it presented definitely a new set of challenges for us. And when we look at our architecture, the way we do system-wide striping, system-wide sparing, the way our caching algorithm works, it lends itself very well to actually taking advantage of a very fast media such as flash. And I'm happy to go into more details, depending on your interest.
So a couple of questions just come right off the back of that then. Is the 3PAR 7450 aimed at the tier zero end of the market? So the dragsters or the Ferraris, if you will, where we're looking uber IOPS with ultra low latency, or is HP aiming for more of a more tier one based solution that's not so heavy on the performance side, but still way more performant than disk?
Okay, yeah. So the 7450 is actually a single array that will, address both of those market segments that you just described. And let me tell you why. From an architectural standpoint, when it comes to delivering very high performance, 7450 can deliver over 500,000 IOPS, but more importantly, it can deliver those IOPS at less than 0.7 milliseconds of latency. And 0.7 milliseconds is really the maximum latency, not average. So really, if you're a performance-sensitive customer, you can really take advantage of the 7450. Now, the second market segment, which is a little bit more cost-conscious, our approach to serving that market segment is by using different media types. And that is one reason why we are introducing MLC, the multi-level cell support, with 7450 at its launch. So not only you can get SLC, which can get you the best performance and especially the best write performance and the endurance, you can also get, we are also introducing enterprise-grade MLC, which can bring your costs down consciously.
So quickly off the back of that then, can you buy an all-flash SLC-based 3PAR and an all-flash MLC-based 3PAR? And can you also throw SLC or MLC into the existing product line and have it just used as a tier?
The answer to all those three questions is an absolute yes.
PD, I recognize that this is a brand new product, but can you give us any indication of the price points and the availability of the unit?
Yeah, so 7450, you know, basic starting configuration starts at $99,000 US dollars at list. In that price, you get a dual controller system with eight SLC drives, and you get you know, all the rich software features like thin provisioning suite. Things like peer, you know, persistent cache and persistent ports. So all the tier one resiliency feature come in that bundle in that price point. From an availability standpoint, 7450 is actually ready to be ordered today, and will start shipment later this month.
What role do you see channel partners playing in the installation and incorporation of this system?
Oh, the channel partners are going to play a huge role in the success of 7450. 7450 actually is built off the same hardware platform as our existing 7000 series, which is extremely channel friendly. It would be a piece of cake for channel partners who are aware of how the 7000 works to actually go ahead and start selling and installing 7450.
Is there any specific training that a channel partner needs to have in order to be able to effectively deploy this?
The only training the channel partners need to have is the training around the HP 7000 platform.
So this is built and designed off the platform of the 7000, which was announced and released at the back end of last year or the beginning of this year. So HP now has in the 3PAR family quite a lot of different platforms there. Maybe there's still some old F-class, T-class, V-class, 7000, all flash-based array, but all running, I guess, under a single version of the microcode, which at first glance sounds like some kind of a nirvana. That sounds great. So you can have a small system all the way up to a large system managed with the same tools, the same operating system. What kind of challenges, though, does that bring to HP, having to support so many different configurations and versions of the platform? That will, I guess, the crux of my question is, will that stifle innovation going forward? Will it make it slower for you to bring new features to market?
Great question, Nigel. And actually, the answer is really on the contrary to what you're expecting. Here's an example. It is true that we have one single operating system running all the way from F and T class systems to the new 7450 system that we just launched. The example I was going to get is we have done a number of enhancements in 7450 to optimize it for you know, working with flash as the media. Right? I mean, we've done a lot of caching optimizations. Guess what? All of those optimizations that we did for 7450 now become available for free on our existing platforms like HP 10,000 or even you know, HP 7,000 platforms. So it's really interesting. You know, the way our one architecture and one common operating system works, it actually gives us a lot of advantage in terms of we do innovation once and we get to apply it across all our platforms.
So you've already mentioned that it can take SLC and MLC flash. Is there an intent at day one or at some point in the future to be able to tier across those? Or do you see all flash as being a single tier?
That is actually something that we're very carefully investigating. You know, depending on the workload types, and I guess this is where your question is coming from, you know, SLC is very well suited for a write intensive workload, whereas the MLCs are generally suited for read intensive workloads. In fact, we are actually looking at a future of MLC technology, looking at, you know, consumer grade MLC, for example, or triple level cell technologies of flash, which are really good when it comes to reads, but, you know, are really, you know, bad, I would say, when it comes to writes. So we are actually looking at tiering opportunities between SLC, enterprise-grade MLC, consumer-grade MLC in future, and even TLC, actually. To put it in perspective, our view of the world is in 2 to 3 years from now, the storage industry will be very flash heavy or solid state technology heavy. So we just have to implement these AO types of features into our technologies.
Well, Nigel, as you look at startups, what are some particular technical strengths that that you see and that you think are particularly important in this market?
I think some of the things that are particularly important and that some of the startups are actually really quite good at and have a good story with are around data efficiency technologies, things like compression, deduplication, maybe thin provisioning as well, that really go a long way to bring flash and especially all flash arrays to a price point that is more palatable for potential customers. So I'd kind of be curious off the back of that to know what the story is with HP and with their new three-part all flash offering. Do they have deduplication, compression? Is that coming in the future? And does their existing thin provisioning technology plug into the all flash 7450?
Yeah, Nigel. So clearly, capacity optimization and efficiency is one of the most important aspects of being flash optimized. We totally recognize that. 7450, of course, does support thin provisioning right off the bat. So that's a well-proven technology that our customers have been able to take advantage of since so many years now. We absolutely are looking at introducing deduplication in near term, actually. Our approach to both deduplication and compaction technologies is that we don't want to have a performance penalty that our customers have to pay for when they enable deduplication or compression. So we are looking at some really cool deduplication algorithms that hopefully will make our offering really unique in the marketplace, where we will have greater capacity savings without any performance penalty that generally comes with that.
Well, Nigel, I think you've got a good idea of what HP's approach is here in the flash storage world. As you look at other people in the marketplace, who do you think is challenging HP?
That's a difficult question, actually. I'm not sure that within the flash area of the market, it would even be right to say, is anybody challenging HP? It would almost be the opposite, in my opinion, that HP are now entering that market. So I would almost flip it and say, who are HP challenging? And I don't see any majorly established players in the market. So there are a lot of startups out there that have got, in my opinion, some great technologies, but I'm not seeing a lot of it deployed when I speak to peers around the industry. A lot of people are thinking about it, but I wouldn't say a lot of people have started settling on, say, one or two vendors. I mean, an obvious one is EMC and their acquisition to get themselves into the all-flash market through the Extreme IO acquisition. But again, there's not a great deal of that out there either. So with the market being young, I suppose HP haven't lost too much ground. And it does look like if they can deliver on what PD is saying here, that they've got a decent solution that they can try and corner part of that market.
Well, I think we've had a good discussion, and it's obviously could go on for a number of for a longer period of time here as well. But I think we probably need to wrap things up a little bit. Again, if you can tell us about your blog and where people can find you.
Okay. Yeah, my blog is nigelpolton.com, where I put most of the written articles that I do, and technicaldeepdive.com, where I do audio podcasts as well. And I can be reached on Twitter as well, at Nigel Polton.
Yeah, Andy, I think the best place would be the Around the Storage blog that Calvin runs. I'm doing a series of blog posts over there covering both the day one design requirements and why they're important, but also how 3PAR is meeting those day one design requirements. And there are a number of blog posts from my peers in HP who are also talking about flash these days.
Well, gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us here today and talking about this very interesting subject, which we could go on for quite some period of time on. But we need to go ahead and get back to some of the other things we'll be talking about here on HP Tech Talk. Next week, we'll be talking with the folks from networking and bring your own device, some of HP's thoughts in that particular area. And I feel sure that we'll see the storage folks again. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to all of you for joining us here. We'll see you next week on HP Tech Talk.